Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Snap, four-man rush. Brissett in trouble, gets away from one. He's not going to get away from them all. He is dropped back at the 13-yard line. A.J. Epenesa and Greg Russo bring him down.
Yeah, I want to get to Epenesa. It was really an amazing day for the defense, but we are also talking about the offense because the passing game is still not right. Nate tweeted in, as we get connected with our fans, brought to you by Bond, Shannon & King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. The defense is perfectly splendid. The offense is below average. Allen's mechanics are off. He's not accurate. The run game showed signs of greatness. Those were his takeaways from the game yesterday. Hey, that's what we're doing. It's Monday. The Bills won. We're getting your takeaways from the victory over the Miami Dolphins. Very happy for the win. Defense was dominant. Passing game is still not right. Can I go home now? That's pretty much all I got for the last 2 hours of the show. Epenesa was a monster yesterday. And I it's funny, you know, sometimes for defensive players, the stat sheet doesn't do you justice. It can for running backs, receivers, tight ends, quarterbacks, obviously. Epenesa had one tackle assist and two quarterback hits. That's his stat line yesterday. Mm. And yet, he was almost unstoppable. He was bending the edge. He looked fast. He was beating tackles. He was creating sacks for other players by pressuring the quarterback, even if it wasn't, he never got a sack. And yet, I thought he had his best game as a Bill yesterday as part of a really unbelievable performance for the defense. Greg Rousseau had a big game. Star Latulele in the middle was a big presence. I was just so impressed with Epenesa. If he could, and if he plays like that, is that kind of pass rush help with Rousseau, and of course Hughes and Addison and everything else you have, it does bode very well for the Bills' defense. The Miami offensive line just could not stop these guys on the edge. It was incredible to watch.
New England lost to that team.
By a point, yeah. Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, because New England's defense isn't supposed to be bad. How did they... I don't know how they lost. Honestly, if you're a Miami fan, I think you have to be unbelievably deflated after yesterday. It's one thing to lose a game to the Bills. They're the division favorite. I mean, that game... They were never even in that game. Never. From the first drive
possession.
Was three and out, two blitzing DBs, two sacks, and a Singletary touchdown. The score says it was 7-0, right? But the game, they were never in it. It was just an incredibly terrible performance by their offensive line. They dropped passes. They muffed a punt. Actually, they muffed it twice on the same punt. What else? I mean, their offensive line couldn't block anybody.
On the muff punt, I thought he should have been down.
Yeah, on the replay, I thought like the elbow was down with possession.
They say, you know, they're breaking it down. Who was it? It was not Gene Sarotota, Mike Pereira?
Yes, Fox.
Okay,
yes.
Fox.
Mike Pereira, yes.
Waddle gets two hands on it and tucks it. He puts the ball away. The idea that he didn't have possession,
right.
Where does he have possession? I would go with the moment he tucked the ball away, and then it comes out when he hits the ground where he would have been down by contact.
Yeah, it's the second he muffs it, scoops it.
Yeah, and then
and
tucks it away.
And then he tucks it, and it looked like his elbow hit the ground, and then the ball came out again.
If that's,
so I
that's the Bills, I'm really upset, because how is it not possession if you take it from two hands and tuck it like you tuck a football?
Yeah.
And then he'd be down by contact. But anyway, I was happy to get that, because that was right after the Bills went very conservative, right? It's very conservative. That's right after
before halftime.
Correct. Yeah.
Yes. They were playing to get to the half.
Yes, they were.
Yeah. And then they muffed it, and they got the ball with, what, like half a minute left or something like that?
Yeah.
And then they missed the field goal. Yeah, they were I thought for sure they were like, hey, really good defensive first half, offense isn't right. Let's just get to the break with the lead and not score. Because they were getting the ball to start the third quarter. Yes, I thought they played a little bit safe there. Yeah, I thought it was just basically between the Bills game and watching the red zone, there was some very shaky officiating around the league yesterday. There was a booth review in the Atlanta game. Sure as heck looked like a fumble, and somehow they didn't overturn the call on the field, which was not a fumble. It was a very... It was a lot of bad calls yesterday.
Well, if you watched the Chargers and the Cowboys, you saw more officials than you saw football players. So it was flags all over the place. Last night's game, you know, it's throughout the season we talked about, and maybe the week will be about this too. We talked a lot about how much will it be about the Chiefs? How much will it be about, let's extend that, the Ravens, the Browns, the Titans.
Hey, the Raiders are 2-0.
The Raiders are 2-0. And one of the things about today is I think that Pittsburgh loss looks worse today.
Yeah, I don't know how you lost it. Well, I know how you lost today.
I know how you lost. You didn't have a good game. I think the Pittsburgh loss looks worse today. I know the Raiders are 2-0, and the Raiders beat Baltimore, but Baltimore kind of gave that game away. It's a funky AFC right now, you know?
You're still trying to get a feel for everybody.
A little bit. I still think the good teams are the good teams. The Bills,
Denver's 2-0.
Yeah, right. I think the Bills are one of those good teams. I think the Ravens are. The Chiefs are. And last night, you know... Again, like I don't want to go too far on anything about the Chiefs, but they lost. How did you do it? You scored 36. You got aggressive on fourth down, and you got lucky.
Got a big fumble.
Without all three of those things, you lose to the Chiefs.
Right.
With 30, I mean, Baltimore almost lost.
33 points you would have had and lost.
Well, you almost had 36 and lost.
Yeah.
The Chiefs were going to kick a field goal to go up 38. At one point, Brian Burke, who covers football for ESPN, maybe they kick off to the Chiefs there before the Allaire fumble. He suggests you should let the Chiefs score. They're going to score. You should let them score and then see if you can have
the
final. Basically, have the final kick here. Wow. Have the final kick at the can.
Right.
And the Chiefs are marching down the field. They have a date with destiny to take the lead. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbled.
Yeah, the Chiefs are still the gold standard, obvious, I think. I mean, I'll tell you this. I didn't think the Chiefs' defense would be as bad as it was last night. I thought it was, their run defense was terrible.
Their run defense was
really
terrible. They had huge breakdowns in the passing game as well. I mean,
So that surprised me a little bit. But it's still Mahomes. It's still their offense. They're still really difficult to stop. And I will tell you this, through two games, here's one of my takeaways. Okay, the division's not going to be as hard as I thought it was going to be. This division... Miami was awful. And New England in two games are doing what you might expect an offense with a rookie quarterback is doing. It's not producing very much. You know, it's a lot of short, safe throws. And, you know, they won yesterday in part because Zach Wilson was completely lost against the Patriots defense and threw four interceptions on his first 10 passing attempts of the game. So they got themselves buried. But New England has not looked good. In a win over a loss to the Dolphins and a win over the Jets, their offense, even with all the new weapons, is not producing very well. They're going through the struggles a rookie quarterback goes through, right? Forget the Jets, of course, we knew that. I thought Miami would push the Bills. I'm not sure what the heck's going to happen with Miami. I'm not sure is Tua playing. If you look at the Dolphins, they're 1-1. They got to go to Vegas now. Well, Vegas apparently is better than I thought. So Miami could be 1-2. Then they play, I'm trying to think who they play after that. I know they play Tampa in week 5. Oh, they play Indy. Now, Indy might not have Carson Wentz. My point is, I thought this was going to be a tight race. I really did. At least into December, like Thanksgiving, maybe into December. The Bills would win the division, but they'll be pushed by the Dolphins and the Patriots. I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. Miami's not good offensively, and neither is New England. And so as much as we're sitting here talking about, well, something's not right with Josh, something's off in the passing game, and I believe it is, who's threatening them in the division? Neither of those offenses can do anything right now. So unless they have a Herculean defensive performance on a week-by-week basis, I don't think Miami and New England have enough firepower to stay in this race that long in the season. So that's my takeaway from the East through the first two games. And New England's got to play, I don't know who they play in week 3. They play Brady in week 4. So New England's looking at no better than 2-2 after the first month of the season.
They played the Saints.
What do you make of the Saints? Yeah, they were awful against Carolina.
The Panthers are 2-0.
Yeah, right. That's why there's some. Like, I know, are the Panthers that good? Are the Broncos a factor in that division? They're 2-0. I don't think they will be.
The Texans look respectable.
The Texans were going toe-to-toe with Baker Mayfield yesterday, and then Tyrod got hurt.
Yeah.
He was having a really good – I feel so bad for him. You know, you think about he's here. They make the playoffs, and then they move on to a different quarterback, right? He goes – where does he go next? Cleveland. He starts. He gets hurt. Mayfield takes the job. Tyrod's done. He goes to L.A. He starts. There's a medical issue before the game. Herbert steps in. Thank you for coming, Tyrod Taylor. So he goes to Houston. He starts. And he's hurt in the second game. And he was playing really well yesterday. I really feel bad for him. But, yeah, that's why I think I love the first month of the season because we are still trying to get a handle on how good or bad everybody is. And I'm with you on Pittsburgh. I thought their offense was bad against the Bills, and it's still really bad.
Yep.
If they they have to play great defensively.
Yeah, and they lost – Texter's pointing out, we mentioned this earlier too. They lost Watt to a groin injury in the first half.
Alo had a fractured leg.
He might be done for the season.
Yeah, I think Bush and Hayden were inactive yesterday. So they, at some point, were down basically at least four starters on the defense yesterday.
Yeah.
So that would explain, in part – But I feel like that's taking away from Derek Carr. Come on, man. You threw 380 yards and three touchdowns. That's a good day.
It's a good day. And, you know, losing to a team that is as bad as Pittsburgh is on offense, it's tough. I think it was not a great loss for the Bills, but whatever.
Yeah.
Like, the defense had a great day for Pittsburgh, and if Vegas got half of their defense, well, then that could explain it. But still, I'm just thinking about the Sunday night game.
Mm-hmm.
Because... Does McDermott watch that game? Does McDermott see that 4th-and-1? That play is a lot. That play is this is what I always try to, you know, convince you or anybody to listen. I'm not sure if I've convinced you. Punts or turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
What did John Harbaugh decide on 4th-and-1? Why would I give him the ball? That's a turnover. Why would I ever think about giving him the ball here? I'm gonna go get 1 yard and the game's over. Or the Baltimore Ravens. And it's not Giants always smash people. Their quarterback's not, he's not even Josh Allen big strong. That's, we can get a yard. Lamar can get a yard.
Right.
Lamar played great in that game. He had a couple turnovers. So did Mahomes. Mahomes had his first interception in September of his life, or whatever, his NFL career.
It's a bad throw, too. He's going down, and it's like, let me flip the
just
ball.
Just a bad idea.
Yeah.
So it was a great game. It was wild. We've had some great primetime games. The Ravens-Raiders game was crazy. Last week's Sunday night would have been Rams-Bears. That wasn't – Cowboys-Chargers game was good.
Washington was good, right? That was a primetime game.
And maybe that's a little bit of what feeling like, you know, the Bills score 35 and we say the offense feels like it's off. It's like it's wonderful to have that kind of standard, be that kind of team, you know. The Chiefs, what's their post-game sound like? Well, huh, how about that? Weird, loss. They're not going to let it knock them off course about gunning for the Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I just – watching Kyler Murray yesterday, we're seeing a lot of the good young quarterbacks, win or lose, make these really incredible dynamic plays. And I think that might be the thing you say about Allen more than anything right now. Is through 2 weeks, the rollout and throwback to Diggs, like that felt that felt like Allen. Like,
yes.
Oh, there it is. So early in the game, you get that sight of, you know, the guy, the $258 million quarterback. All right, there he is. And that feels like maybe he's only playing 2 weeks where it's the freak show Allen kind of play.
Mm-hmm.
However, teams are finding a way to bottle him, keep him limited, whatever it might be. They're still having success. They scored points against Miami. They ran it well. When you play Baltimore, when you play Kansas City, Cleveland, Tennessee, you know, you might need that Allen that we know is there that we saw so much of last year.
Yeah. I thought there were less... There were more plays that he left on the field than plays he made. And you might write, it might sound odd when you say, guys, you know, they did win 35-0. Yeah, but again.
35-0.
Again, it's what we expect from the offense, how they look, how they play. And the pass to Diggs was a really nice pass, right? That was a nice play. The pass to Knox, the touchdown pass to Knox was a nice throw. And I thought, you know, that wasn't his first read, right? So he's waiting. He's keeping the play alive. He does what he does. He leaves the pocket, keeps the play alive, looks downfield. Knox is, mirroring him, shadowing him, moving across the back of the end zone. He leads him nicely, and Knox makes a diving touchdown catch. So there were a handful of throws that you looked at. Look, the touchdown drive. To start the third quarter, The first two throws, the one to Beasley, I think he was wide open. Sanders was still open, but maybe there might have been a guy nearby. Anyway, those were two really nice throws. Zip, right down the middle of the defense. Boom, right to Beasley, on target. Boom, right to Sanders, on target. 35 yards, two pass plays to start that touchdown drive. And he finishes it off with the touchdown throw to Knox. I'm trying to remember, there was one other play I thought Josh made on that drive. Like that one drive yesterday, that's what this offense can do. They were humming in that drive. They were throwing the ball. They were being aggressive. He looked really good. They're moving downfield. Boom, touchdown. And essentially at that point, if the game wasn't already over, for all intents and purposes, it was over right there. But that, how many times have we seen that in the first two games? That's not happening as often as I thought it would through the first two games. Like I said, the one, you know, I got out of the Pittsburgh game and I'm putting all my eggs in the Pittsburgh basket. That defensive front is ridiculously good. I mean, they're so super talented up front. The Bills won't face a front like that again. I know we talked about maybe Washington. I don't know that anybody is going to do to them what Pittsburgh did. Okay, we got through that. So what did we say yesterday? He was still off target. He still missed some guys. He still left plays on the field. He still seemingly, you know, there's some loft on some of his passes that seem to be taking a long time to get to the intended targets. Now what is it? It's not a great defensive front they played yesterday. The only thing you would say is, guys, that might be one of the best secondaries they play, right? At least the cornerbacks, Byron Jones, Xavien Howard, that's a good secondary. I guess I can't just put everything into, well, the first 2 weeks he's faced a really great front and then a really great secondary. There are guys that were open yesterday. Open. And he missed. He's off target again. The Xavien Howard interception, throw it out a little bit further in front for Diggs. It was a little bit behind Stephon Diggs. I know maybe we're nitpicking on a play like that, but we are talking about a guy who was in the MVP discussion last year, and through two games, he's completed 56% for sub-250 and has three touchdowns and one pick. Those are not Bills' offensive passing numbers.
Right. I mean, if you're talking MVP, he's not in 2 weeks. He's not close to the discussion, not yet.
No.
But, you know, whatever.
Like you said, I guess if you're looking for a basket to put eggs in this week, it would be what you said. They hit a low last year, fellas. They had about a month where the offense came out great first month. And then the second month, and then they got to the bye, came out of the bye, and they just ripped everybody to shreds. Okay, so maybe, you know, someone called earlier, this is his preseason. Well, he didn't have a preseason last year, and they were fine in the first month. In the first month last year with no preseason games, they were getting 30 points a game. So maybe it's maybe this is just a slow start. The offensive line was going through some issues. They're working out some kinks at the guard spot. Deion Dawkins is trying to get himself into game shape. I think you'd also wonder, you know, what teams are doing to limit Diggs outside of the 41-yard catch yesterday. His first two games were fairly quiet. Not many big plays to speak of. I know he had a touchdown yesterday. It was a nice play by him. So there are definitely concerns in terms of the passing offense, because that's got to be the strength of this team again. And maybe you don't have to worry about it against Washington, and maybe you don't have to worry about it against Houston, especially if they're playing Davis Mills. But there's a game after Houston where you better be able to have an explosive passing game. And they don't have it yet.
Manning cast tonight. Are you excited?
Yeah.
It's Packers-Lions.
Yeah, well, that doesn't excite me. And I think the game will be a dog.
I don't know. Could be all right.
I'm not sure so far, Detroit's been able to score. They just have no defense.
Yeah, and Rodgers and this offense. I just think Peyton Manning and Eli Manning talking about an Aaron Rodgers game is going to be good.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing. The first game would have been Raiders and Ravens, and a lot of Peyton and Eli was talking about, you know, Lamar's athleticism. We don't know anything about that. Here for Aaron Rodgers, making reads at the line. Not to say Lamar doesn't do that, of course, but like, I just think it'll be a different kind of perspective to hear Peyton Manning talk about another Hall of Famer.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers, it's just, I'm excited for it.
Because I think he'll be able to, he can get into the head of the quarterback, right? That's why Romo's really good. These guys think like quarterbacks. They would know what they're thinking. And Manning tonight will see things, both of them, but probably more so Peyton. I assume they'll see things that Rodgers does tonight and be able to explain it maybe ways that nobody else ever tried to explain on an NFL telecast. You know, his calls, what he's seeing, what he's doing, why he did this throw, what happened here and all that. He can get into that in such great detail that I guess you don't typically get that on your average NFL either game telecast or one of the many NFL talking heads shows that are out there on ESPN. So I did not experience last week. I just saw clips. So I am absolutely going to watch ESPN2 tonight. I will not be watching the main game telecast at all. I just want to see what the Mannings have to say.
Me too.
Yeah, I think it's very entertaining. As I said, I got to find the schedule of the games they're on, the 10 games they're doing. 803-0550 to join us. It is Bills Football Monday. We are taking your calls, getting your takeaways from the game yesterday. If there's anything else you want to bring up from week two in the NFL beyond the Bills, that's always fine.
Is it wrong to already be excited about week three?
I haven't even looked at I'm going to pull one of the players.
Chargers,
things.
Chiefs.
Haven't looked at the schedule.
Colts, Titans.
How about Josh yesterday in postgame, right? Said something to the effect of, you know, we'll try and get better for Washington, right? I think we have Washington at home next week, don't we? He's like, yeah, right. Yeah, you guys are only focused on one game. I haven't looked at week three yet.
Bucks, Rams, 4:25 Sunday next week. Bucks, Rams. That's good.
My boy Stafford.
He looks good.
Gonna need him to have a
They
good
look
game.
Good. Shh. They both have good enough defenses.
Knock on wood. Now I feel like I'm John Gruden.
Eagles, Cowboys is the Monday night game. The Eagles look pretty good.
Not yesterday.
Well,
so I'm not sure what to make of the Eagles. The Cowboys might be good. I mean, they had a crazy game with Tampa in week one. They go into L.A. Well, and, of course, there were more Cowboy fans than Charger fans in Los Angeles yesterday. But the Cowboys might actually be good this year. 803-0550 to join us.
Yeah, they stuck with the Bucs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe they're good. Maybe they win that division. Northwest Bank brings you Bills Football Monday, increasing the value of you. Nate Geary on the way in a moment. And phone lines are open for your comments on the Bills win over the Dolphins.
Here's the snap. Here comes pressure. Milano bursts up the middle. Brissett dodges it. And he gets finished off, though. He is dropped in the backfield by Greg Rousseau. He is sacked back at the 28-yard line. Greg Rousseau with the sack. Milano shot up the middle and forced Brissett to take it to the outside, and Rousseau was there waiting for him.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550, brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Just new stuff in the game plan. Coaches see different things. You know, and again, we don't really have much say of what goes in. And,
absolutely.
You know, I think I have the most say, but I still don't have much say. And whatever they put in, like, we gotta run it. It's our job to go out and execute.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen after the win in Miami yesterday. Mm. It is Bills Football Monday. We're taking your calls. Extra Point Show coming up at 10 with Sal and Joe as we talk football all morning. 803-0550. Nate coming up here as well. Star of the overtime show and the pregame show, of course.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear what Nate has to say about this game. Nate can sometimes, in games, get a little agitated, be worried, be nervous. This game was never in doubt. You know, 35-0 from start to finish, everything looked good. But, you know, the offense not exactly firing on all cylinders. So what do you say, Mr. Geary? What's the vibe after that one?
The vibe. I'm pretty good at what you'd call the vibe check, right? I think the vibe check here is the Bills in back-to-back games played, you could probably say, a top two or three defensive line and then followed up that performance by facing a top two or three defensive backfield. So I want to give, like, a little bit of credit and just a little bit to the opponent in both of those games and being able to sort of slow down what the Bills wanted to do. Very different ways, right? Like, we still saw a lot of man coverage yesterday, which is what we thought we would see in pregame. But I think all in all, both Xavier Howard and Byron Jones made a couple of really solid plays. Some of them probably could have even been interceptions in that game. I'm thinking of the Byron Jones breakup to Sanders in the end zone. That was a nice throw, but just a better defensive play. So, yeah, the offense still isn't clicking. I guess I'll preface this by saying this was sort of my tone last night on the overtime show, which was, as long as they're peaking in December and into January, you know, this ramp up period, like, I'm fine with it. It's not great yet. But it's hard for me to poke holes in a game that you score 35 points, even though I still believe the passing game still isn't clicking at the same efficiency level as it was last year.
Yeah, it isn't, and that's, I think, that's why it's almost like we said it earlier, Nate. You can be very happy they won. I am, but still not, you know, mince words. Something's off. Whether it's Josh, whether it's the line, whether it's the receivers not getting open, whether it's the who they've played defensively, clearly something is off. Even on a day after they put 35 points up, the quarterback is missing some throws, is leaving some plays out on the field. Yesterday, I thought he left more plays out on the field. He made a handful of really good plays, but he left a lot on the field again. And, you know, the nice thing is you were playing a really bad offensive line and a bad offense, and you can get away with it easily yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that offensive line might be one of the worst I've ever seen. Like, they are really, really bad. A.J. Epenesa looked like Reggie White yesterday. Like, it was just – it was not a good situation. It was not a good look for that Dolphins offensive line. But to your point, Howard, about the offense, like, Josh Allen in 2020 had two games of less than 60% completion percentage. And through two games already this year, he's already matched that. So I think there's something to be said about timing and rhythm. And I said this yesterday as well. And maybe the comparison wasn't a good one, but basically what I was describing yesterday was the Bills offense is integrating a new player in Emmanuel Sanders in the pass offense. And I think maybe people take for granted how difficult it can be to have something that's really successful and then try to integrate someone else that's good to make sure that, A, they're getting the targets that they warrant to be in the offense, but, B, I kind of just compared it a little bit to, like, when LeBron James went to the Heat, right? Like, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, they kind of had to change who they were to make that thing work. It didn't work in year one, but eventually, you know, they won a championship. And although I don't believe there's, like, a LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade in this wide receiver group, I guess my point was you see it in other sports. Like, when you add a new player – a player that you want to integrate into the offense, you want to feed because he makes you better, there's going to be some sacrifice. There's going to be some growing pains along the way. And I think we're seeing a little bit of that. And I know it's just one guy, and for the most part of the offense, everyone's the same. But they are trying to evolve, Howard, right? They don't want to be the same offense they were last year. So I still think they're trying to find the plays that work for the 2021 Bills offense. that, you know, maybe they're not yet quite going back to the well on the things that they know worked from last year, because they're trying to evolve and show different things and different looks on film. And I'm fine with that, because this offense does, as a passing offense, need to evolve. But I think the one positive is we saw a better rushing attack yesterday than I think we saw at any point in 2020. So if that run offense can come along, again, volume I don't care about, but for me, the efficiency and the threat to run the football should open things up in the pass in the next couple of weeks. So now that they've put some film on the, you know, put some film out there that they can be efficient running the football, I suspect that teams start to respect that just a little bit more.
Yeah, somebody called about that earlier, and I wonder if that would happen. And I'm skeptical of it, Nate, because I think as much as we can say, hey, Singletary's looked good the first two games, and Moss had some powerful runs yesterday, as much as we point that out, I would think if you're preparing for the Bills, unless there's some radical change, you'd still, first and foremost, you have to stop Josh Allen and Diggs and Beasley and Sanders. And, you know, you have to go after their passing game. And even with the success, some of the success the running game has had, I'm not sure how much defensive coordinators would change their approach, right? It's still, you're not worried about the Bills running game beating you, the single biggest reason to beat you in a game.
No, not after this week, but what I think it will, Howard, and I actually like your point, because I don't think teams are just going to say, well, we got to stop the run. That's the key to beating the Bills. But I think if they're going to continue preparing to stop the pass,
yep,
and the Bills can get those runs in between and become effective there, like we talked about this, Jeremy and I talked about this in pregame, right? Like they still don't quite have that running back that opponents fear. I don't think after one game, all of a sudden opponents and defensive coordinators fear Devin Singletary. But I think if it starts to creep in the back of their minds that we can't just drop eight and rush three. If we do that, the Bills will be fine turning around and handing it off until we get out of those looks. So what yesterday showed me anyways was that if teams are going to try to emulate what the Pittsburgh Steelers did, which is rush four and rush three and drop seven and eight, that you're going to have a tough time stopping the run. And not every defensive line has a Cam Hayward. Not every defensive line can afford or can stop the run by only bringing three and four. So I think the Dolphins proved that yesterday. So I think for me, what this does is it should change the way that teams want to try to defend the pass, knowing that if they just go all out for the pass, the Bills do have a good enough running game to beat you on the back end. Now, are they going to turn around and start running the ball 25, 30 times a game? I still don't think that's the case. But in their 15 to 17 attempts a game, this running game can average 4.5, 5 yards a carry. Teams will eventually have to adjust to that. And when they do, that's really when the passing game can start, I think, to take off. And we can see the games that we saw against San Francisco and against Denver. But, you know, one of the points, guys, too, I have the opportunity every week to listen to Mike and Chris after the game before my show. And Mike made a point yesterday that I thought was that hadn't really been made yet, which is everyone is a little worried about Josh Allen, and the standard for him has been risen to this maybe unfair point, right? Because I think a lot of people look at a game against basically backups in Denver who had nothing to play for as a standard that we should start to hold Josh Allen to, where he's going to throw for 350 yards and 4 touchdowns. And that's just a standard, even though he did it against a team that has nothing to play for, mostly backup. Same in San Francisco, a team that basically had Fred Warner and no other regular time starter on that team. So I guess I just look at, we can't make a standard based on two games that Josh Allen played against inferior opponents that didn't have anything to play for and were riddled with injuries. I don't think that's a fair standard to apply to him either. So I think it's got to be somewhere in between there and what we see now. And that ceiling is still really high. I think that we just need to continue to see the floor get raised little by little each week.
Nate, we were talking about Epinesa, not to single one guy out on an impressive, dominant performance by the Bills defense, everybody on the field. But we were talking about Epinesa and how fast he looks now and what he was doing, even though he never got a sack yesterday. You tweeted out something about him compared to where he was at Iowa. What differences do you see in him from where he was last year?
I think he is a little bit more confident in his body type now. I mean, he went through a pretty remarkable transformation. And I know people say, well, he lost 35 pounds or whatever it was. And at that age, you know, you lose that type of weight and you sort of gain that quickness. I think last year he was still kind of learning to work with it. The thing that I noticed about him, Howard, is every pass rush, it seemed like he had a plan. We heard Mario Addison during training camp in one of his media, you know, availabilities basically say, oh, AJ is going to be a problem this year. AJ has transformed himself. He's created a unique skill set for him opposing Greg Rousseau. And I think together, those two were your most effective pass rushing combos that we saw from the edge in that game. And, you know, if this can offer Jerry Hughes more opportunities to be fresh, the same way that, you know, this rotation is offering opportunities Mario Addison to be fresh, I think this defense is going to be able to really wreak havoc midway, end of the season, when they've got fresh guys that are rotating in and out. But A.J. has just looked like a different player than the player they got in the second round out of Iowa. And I think if this was the body frame, if this was the type of style player that A.J. Epenesa was walking into the league, that he would have been a first-round pick. But I think there was a lot of teams scared off by the fact that he really didn't have much speed or bend to him on the edge, is that he was a player that predominantly won with a bull rush, and you're not going to do that and have a ton of success in the NFL if that's your only go-to move. So now he's added in a little bit of bend, a little bit of athleticism, and that plan of attack when he's getting to the line of scrimmage. And, man, he absolutely dominated at the line of scrimmage. And that play that he hits Tua, like, I don't think you saw any play look as explosive from A.J. Epenesa's college film as you saw on that play. Like, he just looked like a man on fire. And, like, it was just it's a really promising thing to see how explosive he's looked through the first two games this year.
Nate, before you go, any thought on last night's game?
Wild. I would generally say if you throw a pick six to the Kansas City Chiefs, pack it up. It's over. You cannot afford to give them free points. Throwing two interceptions in the first quarter, Lamar did not look good at all. But, man, was this 400 and something yards the Kansas City Chiefs gave up, their defense gave up. I think what their issue is going to be, guys, is I think they're defensively, they've taken some steps back. I'm not sure Chris Jones is working at defensive end. That was a big move for them.
That's a terrible matchup in that game. He was trying to be the guy to read Lamar, and that's not a good idea.
Not a good idea at all. I think that was maybe overcoached a little bit. Like, he is a dominant three technique. He should be playing three technique, not defensive end. And I wonder how teams might try to exploit that moving forward. And listen, I would like to see the Bills game plan against the Kansas City Chiefs incorporate more RPO. I think it's hard for them to defend. I don't think they have a fun time defending. I also think, just in general, going back to yesterday, I'd like to see the Bills deploy RPO a little bit more. Now, Miami's whole offense is predicated around it, and they had to really change that when Jacoby Brissett came in the game. But I think yesterday, the way that the offense is working right now, it's a lot of the quick game passing. I'm talking about the Bills here, like a lot of quick passing game and then trying to beat the defense over the top. I think incorporating more RPO and turning Josh into more of a weapon running the football in that matchup against Kansas City, Josh is going to have to try to run the football a little bit in that game. And I know people probably want to cover their ears. Oh, no, Josh Allen designed runs. We don't want to see it. But
well, not when it's 28-0, you know.
Not when it's 28-0. But
I don't mind seeing it. I just need to see him in space.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. Against the Chiefs, when they play the Chiefs, it's very obvious they're going to struggle with mobile quarterbacks. And I think that you need to lean into that in that matchup. Listen, at the end of the day, guys, you score 36 points against anybody, you're going to have a decent percentage chance of winning.
That's the
thing with Kansas City. If you're going to score 28 points, you're not going to win.
Yeah, they got 36, and they got lucky to win.
And that
Allaire fumble is a good dose of luck. So, yeah. And, of course, they made the bold call.
I loved that call. And I loved the fact that Harbaugh sort of deferring to the player there. That was a really cool thing to watch.
Or at least making the player believe he deferred to the player.
Correct.
Mr. Nate Geary, star of pre- and post-game coverage. And you can follow him on Twitter, at Nate Geary Sports. What did he get, a shot in the you-know-what?
No, Carson Wentz has an ankle injury. They're looking at it today, and I just saw the highlight of him getting twisted around like a high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
Ew.
Thank you, Mr. Geary.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, Nate. We will get a break in. Bills Football Monday, 803-0550. You got couple of stats of the day. Yeah, a couple stats of the day. We'll share when we get back. We're taking your thoughts on Bills' victory over the Miami Dolphins. Grab a line. Join us 803-0550.
Dolphins have a new punt return man, the rookie Waddle. Matt Hawk's punt in the air. Waddle fields it at the 47, drops it, picks it up, drops it a second time, and there's a loose ball down there. Let's see who's got it. Down around the 43-yard line. Bills say they have it. It is Buffalo ball. Jalen Waddle, the rookie, their first-round pick, dropped it twice.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yeah, it was pretty cool playing all my home games in the stadium in college. Had a lot of great memories here. Had my whole family here. It was just a blessing to be back, to be able to come back and play in my hometown and have a solid game.
Greg Rousseau, couple sacks in his return to South Florida yesterday. The former member of the U. Got a couple stats of the day for you this morning. Happy Bills Football Monday, by the way. 803-0550 to join us. Got phone lines open. And we got an entire open hour coming up, 9 to 10 hours. So we'd love to hear from all of you. Stat of the day, brought to you by Cows of Buffalo. Get moving. With Cows of Buffalo, container on wheels, mobile storage. Rent a cow today. Call 592-3343. I have one stat about the Seahawks, one stat about the Jets. The Seattle Seahawks. All-time franchise history, we're 52-0 at home when they led any game by at least 15 points. Until yesterday, when they blew a 15-point lead in the first half, actually had a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter, and lost to the Tennessee Titans, so now it's 52-1. Zach Wilson makes stat of the day for the first time, not a good reason why. He threw four interceptions yesterday. According to Elias Sports Bureau, Zach Wilson is just the third rookie in the past 40 years who threw four interceptions in his first 10 passing attempts in a game. The two of you actually both have Bills connections, the other two. You should get one of them without a hint needed. Four interceptions, rookie quarterback in his first 10 passing attempts.
Nathan Peterman.
Bingo. The other didn't do it as a Bill. But he's a former Bill quarterback who did it his rookie year with the Chicago Bears in 2005.
Hold on.
Rhymes with Bile Borton.
Oh. Kyle Orton.
Kyle Orton. So there you go.
I was going to go with Lyle Gordon. Sorry.
Or Lyle Gordon, Jeff Gordon's brother. So there you go. That's your second stat of the day, Zach Wilson.
Horton.
Or who? Schmile?
Schmile Horton. I don't know.
I believe that's a fifth cousin once removed. What's your stat of the day? Or stats of the day, I should say.
Follow-up to a thing we talked about a while ago. Do you know whether or not the Lombardi Trophy would float?
No, but I saw who. Somebody tried it. Who was it?
Randy Moss threw a Lombardi Trophy into the East River. What do you think? Did it float?
Well, actually, there's a joke to be made about the East River with bodies, but that's very 1970s. I will say it did not float.
It floated.
Oh, good. No. Brady, you're off the hook.
There you go.
Just stayed on top.
It floated. Yep.
Really?
The Lombardi Trophy floats.
Well, that's good to know. So, you know, the Bills can toss it into Lake Erie during their parade. 803-0550 to join us. Hey, let TRS Air Conditioning and Heating intercept your heating bills. Just visit WGR550.com. Look for the TRS Heating and Air Conditioning Intercept Your Heating Bills contest link. Then you can enter for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating bills this winter. At the end of the pro football regular season, one lucky winner will be randomly selected from all the entries to win. Give us a call. Your takeaways from yesterday's Bills win over the Dolphins, 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Over.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.